We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Brandy Enger. Brandy is a private client executive for R&R Insurance Services. From home and auto insurance to travel and cyber protection, she excels at providing customized insurance solutions for successful individuals and families. In addition, Brandy specializes in developing relationships with clients' trusted advisors, from wealth managers and bankers to attorneys and accountants, to form a cohesive team that works together to create a holistic approach to risk and asset management. Brandy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. That's a mouthful. Sorry.
No, that is just fine. Nice. It's actually short and sweet.
That's good.
Right. Try to sound fancy.
That's great. I've had a number of guests on the show where I get a whole page.
Right.
I'm like, nope, not reading that.
We'll cover all the rest of that.
We're going to condense that a little bit. All right. So, Brandy, I'm just curious, as I'm sure our listeners are as well, what has motivated you to become an insurance professional?
Right. Yeah. So it is not something that I set out to become. I actually had the opportunity to have an internship with the company that I'm still with, R&R Insurance, back just a few years ago, 19 years ago, actually, at this point in time now, and just kind of fell into insurance as a profession. Really what's kept me here for so long has been the ability to help people and the importance of getting together with clients and working with them and the work that we do every day. So we have an opportunity, as you can see a smile on my face, to, I think, kind of be the sunshine on a rainy day. I've seen clients cry and be very distraught about something that's happened to them. And the fact that we get to be something positive in an otherwise really difficult situation is what keeps me there and keeps me passionate about insurance every day.
Oh, that's fantastic. I like that sunshine on a rainy day. That's good. So, you know, we all need that.
I think so. Exactly. Yeah.
So what do you love most about the work that you do?
Yeah. So it really is the people, mm-hmm. not just the people that I get to work with inside the walls of R&R. We really have an amazing team that I have the privilege of working with every day. But it's also the professionals outside our organization that I have the opportunity to collaborate with and to learn from. I learn so much in this job every day. But also then the pleasure of sitting down with clients and soon to be clients, not yet quite clients, but clients that are going to be are soon, and hearing their stories about their passions, about their history, their goals, what's important to them. Like, you wouldn't think it would maybe be such an intimate conversation, but kind of our approach is to get to know the individual and then to treat them as an individual. And you can't do that without knowing who the individual is. So helping them plan for and protect their future through those conversations is really what I love most about what I do.
Cool. And I think that, at least in my personal experience, I mean, just insurance is such a daunting experience.
Yes.
And it's extremely challenging to understand and navigate those ropes. And I could just hear and see in your energy that you are genuinely passionate about it.
It is true.
Very cool.
Yes. And that, I will say, your feeling is how most of my clients start. And I would like to think when it's done, certainly their experience is a little bit different.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what did you wake up excited for today? So, Brandy, you have so much energy. What did you wake up excited for today?
Yeah, it's a great question. I am a morning person. I'm the super annoying, like, sprint out of bed, get ready to get my day started. And I mean, it's the afternoon here now. Mm-hmm. So this is actually me coming down off my
goodness. I'm glad we recorded this in the afternoon.
So imagine me with a cup of coffee. But I really think the secret to the energy because I'm just like all the professionals that I work with, I'm just like you, right? We're double booked, triple booked. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of a crazy environment to be in right now.
Yep.
So I just wake up and I take that time to just be quiet. I meditate, I plan, I try to focus. I'm not someone who wakes up at 3 a.m. panicked about something I did or didn't do. I really try to kind of start my day with that intention and wake up giving thanks and having some coffee. And sometimes if I'm super motivated, working out, but not always. And just kind of trying to get focused, aligned, and ready to tackle the day.
I like that. The focus was something you said more than once, and I think that's extremely important to start the day being focused instead yeah. of trying to manipulate yourself to somehow create clarity for your path.
And it gets away from you quickly, you know?
It sure
if you don't do that, it gets away from you quickly. So,
well, seeing as you're passionate about being around people and meeting new people, it only makes sense to have you as a guest on this show because my goal with this podcast is to alleviate that fear that people have when it comes to networking
yeah.
and meeting new people. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had?
Sure, yeah. And actually, it just happened recently. So I'm in a really great networking group, all client service professionals just like myself. Mm-hmm. We meet once a month, and we share very similar values and try to get into the minds of our clients and think like our clients so we can figure out how to support them and provide the right solution for them. So I feel very fortunate to be a part of this group. And actually, one of the members recently hosted a Habitat for Humanity event. And because we were at a networking meeting, we got to talking and I said, gosh, you know, I think this is something that I'd really like to be involved in. I ended up bringing someone from a separate networking group to this event. Mm-hmm. So now here we are in hard hats and jeans and just a very different environment than we're used to, meeting new people. And we're standing in front of the, I don't know, foreman or whatever the right word would be for Habitat. And he's talking us through who the home is going to be built for and what their living conditions are and what's going on. So it takes you in this very different place mm-hmm. with your mind, right? I think I'm there to deepen a relationship with some professionals that I've had the pleasure of getting to know and work with, which we did. We got paint all over each other. we sat on the ground and ate pizza. We used porta potties. Yeah, I mean, this is a very different environment, right? But then there was the flip side of that too, where you're helping somebody, you're doing good in your community, you're working together. So it formed this bond and then, you know, ended up being one of my favorite work days because it's, you get to think about how blessed you are. These are concerns most of us don't have. Most of my clients don't share. Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to have a warm place to hang their head at night? And the fact that we got to help someone accomplish that goal, it was really a cool thing. And if it weren't for networking, you know, I would have probably just been at the office that day. So it's great.
Yeah. A couple of things I want to touch on with that story. One, I think it's fantastic to you're supporting someone else in your network, right? They're hosting this event. You said, yeah, that sounds really interesting. And that's really what networking is
right.
being an advocate and supporting others.
Mm-hmm.
But two, and you started touching on this, is that, you know, we're in our professional space and you tend to know people within this kind of circle that you know them in. And it's a totally different experience when you step outside of that and do something completely different with them. But it does strengthen that relationship
Absolutely.
To some degree.
Right. I had so many conversations that barely started that day, but we've taken, you know, back to the office and mm-hmm. I've helped clients of theirs as a result of kind of, I think, what happened and
yeah.
transpired that day. It certainly deepened the relationship. There's
That's
no
cool.
doubt about that. And we got to do it while my back was sore for a couple of days. But we got to do it, you know, having fun and doing something really positive. So it's great.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that story.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
It's always a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something you have to be very intentional about and work hard at. And I kind of have two different networking groups. I have my clients and their circle, and then I have the client advisors mm-hmm. Who I work with. So for me, it all starts with making sure that the relationship goals are understood. You know, what is that person looking for? And can I provide that to them in a unique way? So with some of my client advisors and partners, it's what are you looking to deliver to your client? Can I assist you down that path in a unique and special way? And can I do it consistently? And with my clients, it's what are you looking for from an insurance professional? And from that relationship, can I deliver on that promise as often as I can? So making sure right away out of the gates that those goals are set and understood. And then it's continuing the discussion and staying in front of them. So if it's an in-person discussion, just checking in. If it's sharing an article or a book I read. If it's sending a birthday card to a client. You know, it can be little touches or it can be really in-depth, meaningful dialogue. It really just depends on, are we both still working towards the goal that we set from the beginning of the relationship? And you get that through listening, you know, through communicating proactively and all of that. So learning about their lives, learning about the goals, setting the goals mutually is really kind of how that relationship gets nurtured.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you opened with really understanding the goals of the relationship. And that's an interesting concept. How do you go about addressing that, I guess?
Yeah, I would say I don't start my networking relationships with like a pitch. Uh-huh. I think sometimes we get into that habit where it's like, and here's my value proposition and here's what I do. And maybe we've been taught that or led to believe that's what we have to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it just is it's a dialogue. Like, tell me about what's going on in your world right now. I ask a lot of questions. I'm just kind of more curious by nature to get to know the individual and their goals. And it kind of just leads down that path. And at some point I can say, hey, you know what? I have a connection or I have a solution to that. So I and that's what we base our ongoing conversations around is that kind of nugget that we uncovered at our first meeting or sometimes our second meeting. And then that's where the relationship continues to develop in that area.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Really good. So what advice would you offer the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of a two-part question. First, I would want to know why that raw number is so critical. And the reason I would ask that question is because sometimes there's that break-even point with, can you effectively nurture the relationships that you have? Are you doing it effectively? You know, honestly, ask yourself that question. So does the raw number matter? You know, that being said, I remember being at the point in my career where I was like, I need 500 LinkedIn connections so that then it just says 500 plus and nobody knows.
Right? I remember that day too.
Right. It's an important.
It was a big milestone.
It was for me too. I worked hard to get that number. And then kind of taking a step back and saying, okay, so now I'm a thought leader. You can tell I'm taking this seriously. Mm-hmm. I think it builds my reputation.
Yep.
Now, within that group or, you know, in my networking group, can I keep those relationships engaged and nurtured effectively?
Yep.
And to me, it becomes that, are you at that break-even point, right? Are you nurturing the relationships? Are you achieving the goals that you set? Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and still grow it, then I think it's, again, finding common ground and looking for similarities.
Yep.
If it's a LinkedIn connection and just saying, hey, I see that you provide this service to your clients. It's very similar to what I do. Or, hey, I see that you graduated from UW-Whitewater. Yeah. So did I. Let's build off our similarity, connect that way, and then build your network from there.
Fantastic. So you spoke about networking events or networking groups, and then we just had a quick conversation about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Digital networking or traditional networking? Which one do you find more value in?
Yeah, both. Uh-huh. I can't give that answer, I know. But you didn't say I couldn't answer both.
No.
So, right. I mean, for me, a face-to-face meeting whenever possible is so beneficial. But I mean, obviously, something like this podcast, I think the value that I will be able to take from this in helping our networking that we do together, in helping clients of mine who are looking to expand and helping my other referral networks looking to expand, taking a piece of digital marketing like this is going to be something that I could never accomplish in face-to-face meetings. There just aren't enough hours in the day. But do I prefer the face-to-face meeting? Potentially. Could I manage my clients and my relationships without digital marketing? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. There's no way. You couldn't do it. You have to have both.
Yeah. The world's changed so much now.
Oh, yeah. And I like it. And in insurance, everything changes too, right? Yep. So all of a sudden there's a new cyber situation going on in the world. Things are happening. There are natural disasters occurring. I can't get all my clients together in a room and say, let's talk about how this is going to affect the program that we set up for you a year ago.
Yep.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
So you have to rely on digital in that situation. And it's great for that. I don't look at that, you know, like a negative. It's a huge positive enhancement to have that at your fingertips to be able to do that. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy, one to many. It's a fast, efficient way to get your one piece of messaging out to many people at once.
Absolutely. I we're fortunate to be around right now where we could do that.
It is. It's fascinating what's happening in our world today as far as technology and relationships go, and it's still evolving.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of see a rubber band effect going as far as, like, it's hit as many people as possible. No, let's reel it in and focus on, you know, this top 20 in my group and really nurture that audience. And it just kind of goes back and forth.
I 100% agree. And it's been in my role in our environment at R&R Insurance also, I've been through some of that, even just within, where it's like get out and lots of touches and constant. And people want that communication and we feel like we need to provide it. But even we now are pulling back. Like, do we have to get back to our roots a little bit and make sure we're staying client focused when the rest of the world is trying to commoditize and digitize?
Yep.
Let's make sure that we're not losing who we are in that process by embracing it, but still recognizing how we got to where we are today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's a really important fact, I think, to focus on. All right. So let's circle back to when you were 20 years old. What would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Yeah, this is my favorite question. I spent so much time thinking about this when you posed it to me. Like, oh, nothing, don't change anything. And, but then I'm like, oh, change everything. How do you answer that question? So here's what I settled on. I sit in my office not as much as I used to because I'm just out meeting with people all the time. But I do have a set in my office that says, if it scares you, it might be a good thing to try.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. And I think in my 20s, I was the opposite of that. I think I had a stable career right out of college. And I stayed kind of in my comfort lane. And then it eliminated any possibility of failure in doing that, which was a really comfortable, great spot for me. People my whole career said, you got to get out and meet people and you got to get into sales. And I was like, no, operations and leadership is who I am and I would never do it, right? I said it forever.
Uh-huh.
And then I took the leap. And what it has opened my eyes to and the more well-roundedness that you get to do when you jump outside that comfort zone and embrace the thing that scares you.
Yep.
Even though it seems, I don't know, it probably was more of a natural fit than I realized, because what I learned about doing what I do now is that it was so much like what I was doing. I'm meeting new people, educating, leading, collaborating, innovating, you know, all of that stuff that I loved so much about my career in leadership, I'm still doing and maybe even doing more of now. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, what was I so scared about? I should have, jumped on it and not been so scared. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you did that jump at some point in your career.
Right.
You're just wishing you did a little bit sooner, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, I think, of course, no regrets, right? It happened exactly at the right time in my life, as it should have.
Uh-huh.
I learned so much along the way to get me to this point where I'm prepared to be able to do it. But if it scares you, it might be a good thing to try. I would have probably crumpled that piece of paper up in my 20s.
And now
I'm like, yeah, let's do it, right? Let's jump out of a plane, yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm not going to actually do that.
I think maybe when I was 20 years old, I might have done that, but there's no way I'd do that now.
I don't think I would have ever.
Okay. So, Brandy, we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you could do it within 6 degrees?
Yeah. I mean, I think if there is that big fish out there, just kind of, big picture speaking, could I do it through my network the way that it is established now and, kind of the things I'm doing to grow it and nurture it? Absolutely, 100%. I think in my business, there isn't that there's not that elusive, you know, contract or client standing out there. But I think I could reach out to anyone in my network if I came across that, and I'd be able to find who that is.
Yeah.
And here's the part where we talked about nurturing, too. So the really cool thing about 6 degrees of separation and how would you go about getting that introduction is if you nurture your network well enough, they'll even do the introduction for you, right?
Yeah.
And to me, there has never been, you know, a more rewarding part in my networking part of my day-to-day life than having somebody say, hey, I'd like to make it, Brandy, here's somebody who I think you could really benefit from meeting. I'd like to come along and introduce you. Because then they take 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes, however long that is, and they tell your story. Here's what Brandy was able to do for my client. Here's what Brandy was able to do for me. And you just kind of sit back and let the storytelling roll. And think about it, it comes across as super honest and super genuine.
Yep.
And then you get to, you know, get back to the basics and learn about the person who you're sitting across from, who you just met. But having someone else do that introduction for you, there's really kind of nothing like that.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's – there's so much value in that referral. That is – it's a like a testimonial slash referral.
Right. And they took the time out of their day. I mean, how many times have we talked about being busy and scheduling time and managing everything that you have to manage, everything that's on your plate? And now this person has taken time out of their schedule, and it's 100% selfless too, right? It's just, you're in my network. I want to help you be successful. Let's all work together, collaborate, you know, be on the same team. And then they do that. It's, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's a great way to support each other.
Yeah.
Which is what it's all about.
Right.
All right. That's fantastic. So what book are you reading right now?
Ooh. So right now I am reading Positive Intelligence. In fact, I just got to hear a speaker on this subject a couple weeks ago. I was at a conference in Atlanta, and they, the guy who gave the speech really dove into the book. And then while I was listening to him, I ordered it from Amazon, and it came. You know, by the time I got home, it was
already – I've done that numerous times.
It's already sitting on my front step, which is great. It's a very compelling message about how your brain is wired through your childhood and how that happens and what you can do to make sure that you're – focusing on the positive, that you're living a life of abundance, that you're making sure that your mindset is continually growth-focused. I think it's, again, something – it's like being a morning person. You know, it's kind of just part of who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the book is doing a really good job of talking about kind of techniques of keeping it in the front of your mind and not just kind of defaulting back to what you've always done.
Sure.
So it's a really good – really, really good read. Positive Intelligence. Love it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. So, Brandy, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
I think, you know, I've mentioned it a few times already, but it's the alignment piece that for me is so critical when taking a look at your network. You know, I've said it a few times already, but I'm an abundant liver. I like innovating, challenging the traditional, growing and learning. And I believe that my network needs to reflect those values in order for us all to be successful. What's relative to them and their clients needs to also be relative to me in order to create that foundation and those mutual goals. So it's the selection process for me that's key. So when we think about grabbing a cup of coffee with somebody that you're meeting for the first time, I don't want that to be, again, it's not a pitch for me. It's not, I'm going to try to sell you on why you should want to work with me. It really is more of an interview. It's more of an opportunity for us to learn how we can truly benefit each other.
Yep.
And we're all, you know, it's that, again, it's that alignment. I want to make sure there's alignment there. And we spend time talking about clients and are our clients mutual, but are our goals mutual? You know, can we see a benefit here? And if you look around your network and you're surrounded with people like that, that are similar to you, I think you've probably built a really successful network.
Yeah. Very cool. I like that. I think alignment is extremely important. I love the language you used around challenge the traditional. I think that's powerful. And mutual goals, which, you know, kind of is alignment. But that's really important. And most important, I would say, is your selection process and really making sure – that your time is being invested in the right spots to nurture those relationships.
Absolutely.
And the right relationships.
Right, because the relationships are important to me. Like, mm-hmm. I want them to be positive and growing. And I, listen, I have, you know, best practices networking groups. And, I've been in those meetings. Mm-hmm. I've done that. But at this stage now, it is about, can we creatively come up with a way to work together to benefit our clients and each other? Is there a way for us to do that?
Yeah.
And if we have linear thinkers, you know, potentially maybe that's not a great fit for me. But outside the box thinkers and people who are willing to, challenge the traditional podcast, hello. that's a really good fit for me. And then I think that's the foundation for a really great relationship.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, Brandy, if anyone's interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way they can reach you?
Okay, our website is myknowledgebroker.com, and I'm all over that thing. So you can go there and find my biography. I've written a ton of blog articles that are continually updated and posted there. So I do a lot of contribution there. Also, I'm very active on LinkedIn, so you can find me on LinkedIn too. And then, we talked about mornings and we talked about meetings. I don't think I've specifically said the word coffee, but I do enjoy a good cup of coffee. So if anybody ever wants to connect and grab a cup of coffee, I'd certainly be willing to do that.
Very cool. And we will include all of those pieces of information in our show notes.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Brandy.
Thank you. It was good to be here.
Good conversation. Lots of nice, juicy nuggets for our listeners.
Good.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Brandy for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.